Now, you've been doing research on basking sharks over the last 4 years. What particular aspect have you been looking at?
We've been collecting samples of the basking shark all over the Northeast Atlantic, really from the west coast of Ireland over to the Isle of Man, west coast of Scotland. One thing was to collect mucus samples of the basking sharks. So basking sharks spend actually a lot of time at the water surface in the summer when the zooplankton gets pushed to the surface. And we approach them usually with a small boat, like a rib. So we have a long pole with some cotton attached to the end of it, and we swipe along the basking shark's back, sometimes a dorsal fin, and get some like mucus to get DNA samples of the basking shark. But we also look at their underwater behavior, so we have started looking into the uses of multibeam sonar to look at their subsurface interactions. We wanted to see if all these aggregations you find in our coastal waters, if they're highly connected, if there's different sweeps of basking shark populations coming in. And we actually found some really interesting results that all these basking sharks in the Northeast Atlantic are actually very highly connected, and that we even get patterns of the same basking sharks returning to our coastal habitats. So that shows a degree of site fidelity, interannual site fidelity of basking sharks returning to our coastal waters.
What does this mean in terms of population of basking sharks? I mean, is there one big population? Are there lots of little groups of basking sharks?
What we are reckoning at the moment is that there's one huge global basking shark population, and the Northeast Atlantic is a bit distinct in some ways that they seem to perform these south-north migrations throughout the year. So in the winter they go more offshore into deeper waters, and in the summer they will sort of return back to favorable habitats, which we identified, you know, around the Isle of Man, Ireland and Scotland. So there is some sort of migrant movement in basking sharks, but they might also be quite nomadic on a global scale, then connecting with other basking sharks elsewhere. If conditions go bad in the Northeast Atlantic, they might just move on to the next ocean.
What are they migrating for?
So it's their main food, zooplankton. So they feed on zooplankton prey. Especially in the North Atlantic, it's a chalanoid species called Chalanus finmarchicus. And on small scales, they can actually find these richer patches of zooplankton. So I'm talking like scales of, you know, tens of meters. They actually are able to, you know, select and find these rich patches of zooplankton. But on larger scales, they're actually corresponding to sea surface temperature quite a lot. So they're orientating along thermal fronts. They're finding, you know, areas where lots of zooplankton gets aggregated on larger scales as well as on seasonal scales. So we know they come back season after season because we have seasonal persistent fronts in the, around the UK.
Does this have any application when it comes to managing or the conservation of basking sharks? They're not the commonest of creatures.
Basking sharks already have a high degree of, let's say, protection and conservation efforts focused on the basking sharks around UK waters. But in Scotland, basking sharks are included on a MPA proposal. And these MPAs might actually prove quite useful as long as basking sharks are returning to these sites. But we also know that basking sharks are quite dynamic in their aggregations, in their search for food. So if conditions aren't right, for example, at the, you know, west coast of Scotland where we have an MPA for the basking sharks, they will move with the food, and then we have to be able to respond with, for example, more dynamic marine protected areas. And so, yeah, there's some usefulness in knowing where these big aggregation sites are and knowing that they are quite connected, that they're probably using these aggregation sites for mating. Like I mentioned before, we have a really interesting temporal data, so the same basking sharks coming back to the same site on an interannual basis. However, we also were able to genetically tag a basking shark in 2012 at the west coast of Scotland that we then sampled again a year later in the Moray Firth. And this was really like the first sort of documented movement of a basking shark into the Moray Firth. Because a lot of the basking sharks that have been satellite tagged at the west coast never actually made it into the Moray Firth. So that was quite exciting for us to actually be able to use the genetics as a sort of, you know, tracking tool.